Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together around your word, and we thank you for your faithfulness and your grace in providing it to us, and your faithfulness to helping us in our times of need. We pray, Father, that you would minister to each of us in our individual areas of need, and bless this service, this message to each of us. And we thank you and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So last week, we ended up talking about faith in the Word, which is the channel for the power of God. And I had this little diagram. And in this diagram, we had God up here. With the love, joy, peace, hope, confidence, all of that power concept that comes from the Holy Spirit. And then we have the Holy Spirit, which comes down to empower us. But we've got this break here. And we have to complete we have to complete this circuit. Now this is our faith, which is directly connected to this flowing power of the Holy Spirit from God being released to us. When we believe, it closes this circuit, which being connected to that, it closes the circuit and creates a closed loop of God's power. So we trust and have faith in God. God empowers us, fills us with the Holy Spirit, and gives us all of the power involved in agape love, His joy, His peace, hope, or the confident expectation of good things for the future. And if we don't close that loop, these concepts here are basically unavailable to us. When we're not operating in faith, what's the alternative? Despair, despondency, depression, negativity. Like, these are the things that we're left with if we're not operating in faith. We talked about how the devil, his goal is to attack us. He prowls around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And if a believer comes under attack of the devil, the only way that we can stand is through faith. When we operate in faith, even in the midst of the attack of the devil, we are filled with God's power to stand up to the most powerful created being in the universe and defeat him. This is a mighty outworking of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the devil himself pits himself against every believer to destroy our bodies, our minds, our families, anything that we hold dear. If it were up to him, he would destroy the very capability we have to even believe in the Word of God. But he can't. You know how God, he permitted Satan to attack Job, but he always said, you can go this far, but no further. And that goes for us with faith. He can attack us with all manner of attacks, but God says, this far and no further. You cannot remove their faith from them. Not because it would ever be possible, but because God has sealed us. He has given us His Holy Spirit, and there is no way that Satan could take it away, no matter what he wanted to do. To come out of the spiritual combat with victory takes power. And if you remember the old hymn, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. So now we'll move on to faith exercised in trials. So regardless of whether we're talking about the kind of trials that are designed to bring out and purify our faith, or the trials that are designed to find out exactly what's inside of each of us, you know, the concept that, like when God let Israel go hungry in the desert to see what was in their hearts. Now, whether it's either of those kind of trials, the believer is to exercise faith in those trials. And exercising faith, it's not just gritting one's teeth. It's not just gutting it out or grinning and bearing it. These are the concepts associated with one trying to handle problems in their own power, in their own works, to go through the situation in our own strength. But we're not supposed to do that. For the Christian, we're supposed to exercise faith in the Word of God as a daily and sometimes moment by moment claiming of the promises of God. And if we were to wake up the next morning and find that we're still there in the midst of a trial or sickness or difficulty, we keep on believing. We keep on believing the promises that God has made, the doctrines that we have learned and metabolized by faith. Those are the things that we focus on. And this is to be the approach that Christians are to take when confronted by trials. And this is how we're supposed to endure them and how we actually move through them. The trial may be resolved by applying some doctrinal solution, but if not, then one still continues in the trial, exercising faith in the promises of God. And one might also have to put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6, to deal with the satanic attacks while undergoing the trial, as happens so often. But this too is a doctrinal solution to a given problem. And that solution is provided to us by the grace of God, and it requires faith to apply it. Now we'll look to faith exercised in grief. One of the hardest things to go through is the death of a loved one, a friend, a relative, a spouse. It's not to be a study on the nature of the dynamics of grief in general, which is such a powerful emotion and destructive if not allowed to have its day. But this is to be a focus on the biblical use of faith while going through our grief. Now remember, the ancient people of God all suffered grief at one time or another in their own lives, and they went through it all without therapy, without counseling, without grief seminars. Now, this isn't to criticize those things, because they can be very helpful when they're being provided for by somebody that is, you know, capable of doing so, or is doing so with the right the right background or understanding, not by some of these quacks out here that are filling our kids' heads with all kinds of mumbo jumbo, or what was it Ron said, hocus pocus. But we have to ask ourselves, what was it that pulled them through their grief? Was it their faith in the promises of God? When they got a hold of the promises that dealt with the resurrection and everything having to do with that, they believed God's word. And this believed word metabolized doctrine that they had received by either teaching or reading, and then applied their faith to it, that provided their souls with the spiritual energy necessary to strengthen them, to comfort them. And in addition to this was the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is given to us as a comforter. And that ministry of the Holy Spirit to us is called dying grace. Now, Paul wrote about the problems that believers in Thessalonica were having, telling them that he didn't want them to be ignorant about their loved ones who were believers, who had fallen asleep, or in other words, died. Nor did he want them to grieve like the rest of mankind does, the unsaved who have no hope. And he goes on to tell them why, and about the resurrection in 1 Thessalonians 4. All believers in Christ will be raised to eternal life with new bodies and will live forever and ever. And that also includes our loved ones in the Lord. That is our comfort. That is our objective hope. And when we combine our faith with that, that becomes our subjective hope. And then we become filled with a confident expectation of being reunited again with them in the kingdom of Christ. Beautiful, glorified, all of us. But the unsaved have no such hope. That's why they mourn like they do. When they die, they go to hell, awaiting the day of judgment, where they will be raised up out of hell to be judged by Christ and then thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. So for the believer in Christ, we can see how our faith in the Word of God can strengthen, comfort, encourage us, and give us hope during the time of our grief over loved ones lost to death. Next will be on faith exercised in sickness. Sickness is always one of the more difficult things to handle because it affects us directly and how we feel. It's hard to feel hopeful when we feel terrible. It's hard to feel spiritual. It's hard to feel positive. But that's kind of the point, is faith doesn't require a feeling. And hope, even our subjective hope, doesn't require a feeling. Regardless of how terrible we feel, we still have the choice to believe. And that belief, that faith in what God has said, well, that fires up that engine inside of us, and that swelling of hope and confidence in what God has said he would do for us. We're to handle our sickness by faith. Now, this includes diseases, injury, convalescence, and recovery. And first of all, sometimes sickness can be gotten rid of by exercising of faith in God's word. Many a believer has gotten off their sick bed by intense and sometimes prolonged prayer and faith in God's word. But sometimes the recovery is not so quick. It's not so miraculous, but it's long term. And it's faith in the word which will carry any one of us through it. For the exercising of faith in the word strengthens the spirit. It gives us hope in the future. It brightens our day, even when we're in the darkest of physical difficulty. It improves our disposition. And it figures in very prominently in our recovery. I mean, even in the secular world, there's tons of these self-help guys that talk about how, and there's been medical studies that have talked about how somebody that's positive has a much shorter recovery time than somebody that is, you know, infinitely pessimistic and negative.
Woe is me.
Woe is me. Like that, the body's physiology is actually put in a negative state. The body doesn't work properly when we're mentally negative. I was talking to Michael here recently about a study that they had done in China, in Japan, and in Spain. It was talking about cognitive decline. And of course, that leads to dementia, to Alzheimer's, all of these types of concepts. And they found that people that have recurring negative thought, now that's, they also use the term synonymous with the word rumination as recurring negative thought. It's really kind of a thought pattern way of life of negativity. Thinking about the difficulties, thinking about the failures, thinking about the loss, you know, all of those negative concepts. People that did that were infinitely more inclined to develop cognitive decline. And this is from a purely like physical standpoint. That negativity actually damages their brains. There's actual measurable differences in their brains where it shows damage in very key parts that lead to Alzheimer's symptoms, just general dementia symptoms. And I mean, that really was an eye-opener. And, you know, I mean, if any of us find that we're spending more time thinking about negative things and, you know, all of our problems or all of our worries, if that's where our mind is more often, we're setting ourselves up not only for just a miserable time while we're living our day, we're robbing ourselves of current joy that we could be experiencing. We're also damaging our brains and setting our bodies up for other diseases as well. And we got to remember that sometimes sickness is used by God to give us wisdom that we can then apply in the future, that we can then pass along to other believers, other people that may be going through something difficult. We've all gone through various trials and difficulties in our lives, and we're now on the other side of it. And I'm sure, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of your hardest, most difficult trials that you've been through, they lead to being kind of really some of the most inspiring parts of your testimony when you're speaking to someone. God uses that, not just for our growth, but for the growth of others as well. Now we're moving on to faith exercised in the sickness of those close to us. This is really difficult as well, because as Christians go through this, it still touches us. Now, not in the same way as when we're going through it ourselves, but it still affects us. We often feel helpless. We feel inadequate. We feel frustrated, sometimes even guilty at times, especially if we're involved with them over a long period of time while they're in recovery or convalescence. And it may be a parent or a spouse, a child, whoever it is, we don't know what to do. We don't know what doctors to turn to, or if to turn to a doctor in whatever the situation is. We don't know what form of treatment to take, to advise them to take even. We don't even know if we're doing the right things or if we're doing enough. In our pain over their suffering, our insecurities and our fears settle in. Demands that they make upon us, our inabilities and our frustrations, it all makes it very, very hard on us. So faith in the Lord is not only very helpful, it is the very thing that solves these problems that we're talking about. In finding the right doctors and treatment, faith. In our prayers for God to give the doctors the skills and the abilities beyond their training, faith. In giving us the ability to rest in the knowledge that they are in the Lord's hands. Knowing that they won't leave us till it's their time. That as long as they draw breath, there is still a plan for them in this life. And we look forward to seeing that unfold. Faith in strengthening us as we go through the stresses and the ordeal. And faith in all of the little details and decisions that must be made. The exercising of faith in God's word gives us hope, strength, and courage. And as we possess these spiritual qualities, we will be able to pass them on to our loved ones who are going through this sickness, illness, convalescence, recovery, as a means of encouraging them. Now, whether in our own sickness or in those close to us, or in those that we have added burden of taking care of, faith plays an important part. First of all, in our own mental dynamic, faith can take us from night to day, from fear, discouragement, despair, inadequacy, guilt, frustration, grief, worry, all of those concepts, right over to peace, joy, optimism, confidence, a relaxed mental attitude, and rest for our souls. Secondly, faith clarifies the issues at hand and guides us believers to make the right decisions, to follow the best courses of action. And thirdly, faith acts as a stabilizer of the mental attitude through all of this, whether we're the ones going through it or whether others are going through it. Faith stabilizes us, keeps us even keel. It's beneficial to the body as well, as we just discussed a little bit ago. Fourthly, faith, when accompanied with our prayers, calls the grace and power of God into action on our behalf. Next, we'll look at living by faith in a degenerate society. Whew. Now, living in a time of apostasy, as we are, or under national judgment, which seems to be ever more apparent that we are, when we're living in these times, it becomes very difficult for us Christians to handle things spiritually. And one that it's a time that calls for living by faith in the Word of God each and every day. In fact, the exercising of faith and concentration on the Word of God needs to become intensified and even more disciplined during these times. And because of the condition of the people that are around us, the societal phenomenon in society, God's hand of judgment upon the nation, we will have several factors that we'll have to deal with and apply our faith to. First of all, will be the continuing pull of negative volition towards the crowd around us who, having departed into apostasy, we find ourselves, some of us, inclined to join in with them. Hopefully none of us here today. A lot of the believers out there are caught right up in with them, especially those that are watching all of the mainstream media. They get swept up in all of the lies. And we'll really have to occupy ourselves with faith in the Word of God to keep from being pulled away along with the others. Secondly, is the vexation or torment of our souls from being continually surrounded by negative, proud, arrogant, selfish, bragging, mean, violent, hateful, hedonistic, coveting, greedy, materialistic people. I'm sure there's more in there that could be added, but pretty bad. And we'll really have to keep our eyes on the Lord, faith in God's word, and lead a separated life to keep from being tormented by it all or reacting to it with bitterness or anger. Now, speaking of bitterness and anger, I had an interesting little realization a couple of days ago. I was talking with someone and they had made reference to somebody, and I swear I heard them say that this person was bitter. And they said, no, better. And I'm like, oh, I misheard you. But I had this spark of realization. There's only one letter difference between bitter and better. One letter difference. Now, the concept of bitter or bitterness that's spoken about in the New Testament, and the Greek word that it's used is pikria. And pikria has the sense, the idea of a sharp or acrid, pungent taste or smell. But that concept, you know, such as bile or whatever, but that concept of a sharp something, smell or taste, comes from its root, which has the idea of a pinprick or a piercing. So it's a piercing flavor, a piercing smell. And pastors taught on that with regard to bitterness, anger, wrath, you know, so on. And that idea, that pikria, is that knee-jerk response to negative stimuli of being pricked with a needle. That, ow, dang it. Perhaps instead of response, we should use the word reaction. I've often heard it said it's better to pause and then react or to respond to something than it is to instantly react to something. There's one gives us at least a little bit of thought to it first. But that reaction to that negative stimuli is that pikria concept. And when you apply that to our soul, that would be the knee-jerk response of our soul to the negative stimuli. Our ego experiencing a negative stimuli. And when we're self-focused while going through difficulties, testings, trials, unpleasant circumstances in general, it's easy for our souls to slip into bitterness. And that brings us to the I in bitterness. That I in this whole concept is the I in me. And we'll pick back up on this second hour and finish that part out and then continue on with the rest of what we have. But let's go ahead and bow for silent prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together around your word. We pray that you would just bless our hearts and our minds with understanding and direct us in how to apply these things to our lives. We just thank you and we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.